I want us to dive in this morning to I think it's my favorite one of our core values. We have four core values here at Grace Point. We say the things that keep us on track, sort of the bumper pads at the bowling alley that keep us from throwing gutter balls, right? When we get a little off track, we go back to these four things, and it helps us say, okay, we got to get back to this stuff. We're not going to focus on everything. We're going to focus on these four things. Core values. First one is love God, love others, give excellence, and have fun. Today, we're going to talk about having fun. Now listen. I love having fun. My family, I've told this story recently in church. My family knows when they pull out a sad movie on movie night at my house, it ain't going to happen. I hate a sad movie. Life is hard enough without making it harder by crying about some artificial thing. I'm not going to do it, right? I want us to have a good time. Now, church ought to be fun. The Bible says that when somebody gives their life to God, to Christ, there is rejoicing in heaven. There's a party going on in heaven. So if our goal is to get to heaven, we ought to be practicing now for the stuff they're doing already. So when we are gathering as a church, whether it's in a small Bible study in a coffee shop or whether it's right here on Sunday morning, no matter if it's two of us or 200 of us or 500 of us gathering at the same time, there should be some rejoicing and some fun involved. Now listen, I think there's a lot of people that sort of endure their relationship with God. It's sort of something they drag along with them. It's not really bringing them joy. It's like, I just got to do this because I don't want to go to hell. Come on. And that's fair, all right? I don't either. But the Bible tells us that he wants to give us life and life more abundantly. So he's not just saving us so that one day when we're dead and gone from earth and we get to enjoy heaven. That's not what this is about. He wants to do something in our lives right now that we can have joy, contentment, peace, that we can laugh. The Bible talks about laughter. There's good stuff in the Bible about laughter. He wants us to enjoy our journey. We should be the happiest people on earth. People ought to look at you. If you really love Jesus, they ought to look at you and go, he's a little weird. I mean, he just smiles all the time. And, you know, I know their family's just jacked up, but they seem to be doing okay. If I'm not experiencing joy in my everyday life, I'm not doing Christianity the right way. If I'm just enduring it, I'm missing the mark. I want to start with this story. A guy took his dog out to the lake one day just to take the dog out to get some exercise. And so the guy picked up a stick, and he throws the stick as far out on the lake as he can. The dog runs to the edge of the water, and then he starts walking on the water to get the stick. He grabs the stick, he walks on the water all the way back to the owner, and the owner just can't believe it. He's like, I don't even know if I saw what I just saw. Did that really just happen? Is my dog really walking on the water? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll bring my neighbor tomorrow, and I'll do the same thing and see if this happens, and then somebody will be able to witness it and verify it for me that I'm not just losing my mind. So he brings his neighbor out to the lake with him the next day. He goes up, picks up the same stick, throws it as far out on the lake as he can, and he looks at the dog, just wondering what's about to happen. The dog tiptoes up, walks all the way out on top of the water, picks up the stick, walks all the way back, and drops it down right at the owner's feet. The owner doesn't know what to think. He looks over at his friend, his neighbor. He goes, Did anything unusual just happen with my dog? And his neighbor said, yeah, your dog can't swim. Don't you hate people like that? I mean, we just saw the greatest thing in the world, and you saw that my dog can't swim. I'm so thankful that Grace Point Church is full of people who see the potential and the best in other people. Listen, we like to say around here, we are an imperfect church. And if you think you got your stuff together, you need to find a new church. Because this is for people who need Jesus, not people who have arrived, all right? This is for people who need Jesus. Wouldn't it be bad if somebody, if every time you came to church, somebody pointed out your past instead of rejoicing about your future? Listen, I got a lot of stuff in the past I'd rather us just not talk about anymore. I made a deal with God. He forgot about it. I'm trying to forget about it. Let's move on. And yet, there are people along the way who like to point out where you came from. It's no fun, to go back to our core values, it's no fun to have my past pointed out all the time. Now, I got to learn from it. I don't want to repeat it. I don't want to mess up again, but I don't want to live back there. I want to live looking into the future and what God has for me. Now, when Jesus believes in you and me, he's not believing in our ability. All right? That's why Jesus had to die for you and me. Because he didn't believe in our ability to save ourselves. He didn't believe in our ability to take care of things. He knew we needed him to pay the price so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a future. When he looks at us, he sees potential in us because of what he's done, not because of what we're doing. Because if left up to my own devices, I just keep repeating my past and messing it up worse and worse and worse. But when I trust God, it's in his power and his grace. Now, Jesus saw the potential in people all the time. He picked angry fishermen to be disciples. I'm talking about guys that were still cussing people out till Jesus left earth. And he chose them to be his disciples. He chose Roman guards, and he chose adulterous spouses, and he chose cheating tax collectors. Here's what he did. He chose the last, the lost, and the least among us to be his followers. Do you fit in one of those categories, the last, the lost, or the least? I know I have. I know I've found myself in those places multiple times, but Jesus believes in us. He wants us to know that he believes in us. There's nothing, I hate it when somebody really thinks you did a good job, but they don't want to tell you you did a good job. They're like, if I tell him he did a good job, he won't keep doing a good job. He'll slack off. I really don't want to be around people like that. I want to be around people who see you do a good job, and they give you a high five and think, man, that was awesome. Way to go. You did it. Jesus believes in us and wants us to know that he believes in us. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants us to live a life filled with joy. He doesn't want us to endure our relationship with him. Anybody in your life, and please don't look at anybody in the building, anybody in your life that you're enduring right now, you're just like, I'm bringing them along, but woo. Jesus doesn't want to be in that category. He doesn't want you just dragging him along. He wants to be actively involved in our lives. He only wants for us to be filled with joy. He not only does he want it for us, he commands us to have joy. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know what rejoicing is? It's choosing to have joy. Now listen, we're not talking about depression and mental illness or any of that this morning. We're talking about when life is happening and we're dealing with things right in front of us. He says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Now listen, I love that because it's a declarative sentence. He says, look, rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't give you an out. He just says always, all of the time. And he says, I know they're not going to listen to me. This is the Apostle Paul talking. I know they're not going to hear it the first time. So I'm going to say it again, rejoice. He tells us twice in one scripture, get yourself some joy. Let God work in your life. What does the Bible say about all this? How do we do that? The Bible even talks about laughter. How long's it been since you belly laughed? How long's it been since you just were like, just stop, I just got to quit? Most of us don't do that. Most of us will give a passing chuckle. If you're too cool to laugh, you're too cool, all right? I'm just saying. Some things are just funny. That's why we do Bubba jokes and dad jokes around here. Because listen, I love the silliness of it. Because I know that life is serious. And so we can just let go and laugh from time to time. Just laugh. Just look at somebody's eyes right now. Look over at them. Just look them dead in the eye right now. I see people that won't even look at the person beside you right now. That's a joy problem, all right? I'm just going to leave that one hanging there. When you look at somebody, there's many reasons we look at people. First of all, we look at our kids and go, you better not do that again. We look at them and we say with our eyes, I will kill you when I get home. Some of you are like, yeah. Got a class on killing our kids. All right. But when you look at somebody with no motive and no intention, you just got to laugh a little bit. You're like, this is just weird. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and you look funny. I don't even know why you look funny, but you look funny. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Man, if you don't get anything else, get this one today. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Some of us don't like taking our medicine, though. Some of us don't like taking our medicine. We want to go through life serious, and when somebody starts laughing, it makes us a little bit angry. Like, you need to be more serious about this stuff. This is the Bible talking to me and you. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You know, kids don't like taking medicine at all. When I was a kid, I'd gag at pills. I'd have to drink, 17 glasses of water to get one Tylenol down. And I remember asking my mom, can I just chew it up? And she said, you can chew it up if you want to. You ever chewed up a Tylenol? Ooh, you'll learn to swallow a pill real quick after that. It only takes once. We grimace. Kids will grimace at the taste of bad cough medicine. We just do all kinds of weird faces and shiver as it's going down. We hate taking our medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Listen, it's not easy to get a cheerful heart sometimes. It's not easy to let God work in our lives. It's not easy to say, I'm going to choose joy even when the circumstances say I should not choose joy. I'm going to choose joy. I got to choose it, though. Just look at somebody. I'm going to do this over and over this morning, all right? Just look at somebody and say, take your medicine. Now say to them, it'll change that sour look on your face. No, don't say that. See how easy it is to take your medicine? It's just a smile. That's all it is. Proverbs 12:25 says this. Look at it. Anxiety weighs down the heart. Now let's stop there. Anxiety. Everybody, all the experts say that anxiety is at an all-time high in our culture. Kids are dealing with anxiety like never before. Kids now are worrying about stuff that didn't even exist when I was a kid. And I'm not that old. Anxiety is an issue. We have social anxiety and academic anxiety. You just go down the list. All kinds of anxiety. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. You know why one of our core values here is to have fun? It's because we all need to be cheered up from time to time. And you know how you get cheered up? Somebody says something encouraging to you. There have been moments in my life when it was the smallest compliment or encouraging statement that changed it for me. I was like, I'm doing okay now. I know I'm okay. Because in my head, I was failing, I was faltering, I was making a mess of things, and it only took one person to say to me, you're doing a good job. You hang in there. Just that one little encouraging word, a kind word, cheers it up. Now watch this. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who live it will eat its fruit. I can tear you down or I can lift you up by my words. It's so easy. It's so easy. You know, they say that in the business world, it takes 9 good comments to counteract 1 bad comment about a restaurant. So it takes 9 people saying good things about it to counteract 1 person saying a negative thing. I believe it probably works the same way for you and me in our personal lives. That one negative comment, we hold on to it. You know, when your uncle that was overweight said, you're gaining a little weight there, buddy. And you're like, I want to punch you right in the mouth. Just in Jesus' name, I just want to knock you out. And then every time you walk in front of the mirror, you see your uncle's face. I can't, what in the world? I'm letting him control how I feel about me and what God is doing in my life. Somebody says one negative word to us, it drags us down. That's why having fun is so important. Is that we need people in our lives high-fiving us, smiling to us, encouraging us, texting us, calling us. That's why we need to do it for other people. Proverbs 15 says this. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. But heartache crushes the spirit. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. I love that last line. But the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Others might think you're a little weird, right? When the whole world is angry and anxious and you're the happy one in the crowd. Now, you're not going to throw it in their face, but they just see you smiling, going about living your life. You're like, I know life is hard, but I know who's in charge of life too. I still know the miracle worker. I still serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still on my side, even though things are not what I want it to be. I'm okay. I'm happy. Now listen, you got to struggle through these moments because life will body slam you. I grew up watching professional wrestling. Listen, life will body slam you and you have to roll around on the mat a few minutes, right? And then you get up when the crowd starts getting excited. You get some encouragement. You want to stand up and fight again. You get ready to go. People don't know. Look, again, cheerful heart has a continual feast. It's like you're constantly eating of God's goodness. Marshawn Lynch, if you don't know him, look him up later. He's called beast mode because he's so tough. He's a football player. You're not in beast mode. You're in feast mode. You're just constantly enjoying the blessings of God in our life. It brings us joy. Laughter is a gift from God. God made us to laugh. There's an old TV show called The Actor's Studio, and one of the questions that was asked every time that this person, James Lipton, every time he would interview a new movie star or actor, he would ask them a list of questions at the end of his interview, and one of those questions would always be, what's your favorite sound in the world? And almost every one of those people who had children said, the sound of my children laughing. No sweeter sound in the whole world than to hear your, because the world is right when your kids are laughing. When your kids are hurting, it just changes everything. You can have plenty of money in the bank. Your job can be great. Everything can be great. And when it's not okay with your kids, it just is like a black cloud over everything. You start having to work through it. But when you hear your kids laughing, I love when our family gets together and there's a game going on and everybody's laughing. You're like, the world is right. The world is good. And I believe our Heavenly Father looks at us the same way. He just wants to hear you laugh. He just wants you to know that He's going to take care of all the things you need taken care of. Laughter has a way of releasing tension in our lives. broken homes and broken lives. It just has a way of releasing tension, just unloading it. G.K. Chesterton said this, "Life is serious all the time, but living cannot be." Life is serious all the time, but I can't go around living a serious life all the time. I have to have some joy along the way. Nehemiah, it's a beautiful story. The Jewish people had been in exile. They were forced. They were removed from Jerusalem, and they were taken to Babylon, and they were kept there for 70 years. And King Artaxerxes was the king of Babylon, and he started sending them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because the walls had started falling and there had been all kinds of things going on. So he started sending some of them back, go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He even gave them paperwork that said, King Artaxerxes says that these guys are going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Well, the enemies of Jerusalem did not want the walls rebuilt. And so even though the men that went back had the paper that said, the king said, we can do this, all those people who hated them were like, we're not going to let you just get by with this. So they had to fight. So as they are building the wall, they're having to fight a battle against their enemies. They've just come out of exile. I mean, life is hard. They think they're going home. They've been down here doing the exile thing, been sent away from home. Life is hard. And then they've been sent back home. Now you can rebuild. Life is great. When you get there, the enemy was waiting for them to kill them and keep them from this life they wanted. Anybody ever been on that roller coaster? You're like, it's good. Woo, it's not good. It's good. It's not good. And that's what life is going to be forever. Now watch what happens in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 8 and 10, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. I kind of think Nehemiah was a southerner. He likes sweet tea. So rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. He said, I want you to share this. Make it a party and share it. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This room is full of people that Satan can whisper in your ear, go out and get drunk. And you're just like, what? Are you crazy? I'm not going out and getting drunk. Or go have an affair. Are you crazy? I'm not going to have an affair. So his tactic is, let's make life so serious that their strength level just starts dropping. And dropping, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy starts to wane. Your joy battery starts to go dead. And before long, you got no strength. And then all those other suggestions that he was telling you before, all those become options then, because our strength level is low. Nehemiah had to fight and build at the same time. And we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to fight and we're going to have to build. We're going to have to fight. And we're going to have to build. We're going to have to trust God to walk with us and help us along this way. If I'm feeling weak, the first thing I need to check is, where's my joy level? Because it's perfectly inverse. When your joy is up, your strength is up, right? So when you let your joy drop, when we stop trusting in what God is doing, our strength starts dropping again. When God wants to work in our lives, it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. I'm going to finish with this scripture. Psalm 126 says this. It's talking about the same thing. When Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem and King Artaxerxes, he says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. It was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. What has the Lord done for you lately? Maybe you feel like, I don't know what he's done for me lately. Then you look back just a step further. What did God do for you a few steps back? How was God working in your life a few steps back? What did God do back then? What joy. Are you weighed down in the fight this morning? You're trying to build, you're trying to work, you're trying to do your part. You're feeling weighed down. The joy of the Lord is your strength today. That's why our core value is have some fun. Let God build some joy in us. Come on to the piano, somebody. Let God build some joy in you. It's not just going to happen. It's going to be a choice along the way. You're going to have to work things, do things in your life that will allow God to build joy. You're going to have to stay close to Him. You're going to have to be around people who are already filled with joy, because you can't muster it up on your own. You're going to have people that encourage you and lift you up and bear your burdens and pray for you and encourage you. You're going to have that. Some of us hold people at arm's length in our life, and we wonder why we're always on the verge of depression. I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm going to hold them out there. Never let them see me sweat. And we wonder why we're constantly struggling. Constantly struggling. Let people help as they can help. And let God build some joy in you. Let God do some work in us. I think we ought to be the people that everybody else want to be like. I think when people look at believers in Christ, they ought to go, they're a little weird, but boy, they seem like they're happy. They seem like life is good. I want you to stand with me real quick, if you would. Do you find yourself... We all have this internal dialogue going on all the time. We call ourselves names. Stupid. You idiot. Why'd you do that? Sometimes people hear us and they think we're talking about them. You're like, no, it was me. I was talking to me. It's just me. We have this internal dialogue going on. And some of us are so analytical, we're looking 12 steps ahead and we wonder why we're so in such lack of joy. We're trying to figure out things that God doesn't need us or want us to figure out yet. God made us. He tells us in the Word to plan for the future and all those things, all that stuff. But I can't live in the future. I can plan for it, but I can't live there. I can only live right here and right now. And the place I'm going to find my strength is in the Lord, the joy of the Lord. So is there some internal dialogue going on right now that we need to correct on a personal level? We need to start saying it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. We wake up in the morning and we say, I get to do these things instead of I have to do these things. Come on now. Thank you, God, for the strength to go to this job. Yesterday, I was like, I hate this job. But today, I'm going to change it. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about just the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about engaging the power of God. This joy of the Lord is my strength. Thinking good thoughts are great. But there comes a moment where I need more than just good thoughts. I need the power of God working in my life. I need Him working with me in those circumstances, building and fighting and building and fighting and building and fighting. And realizing that until I leave this earth, I'm going to have to build and I'm going to have to fight. There will never be a day in your life and my life where we go, all right, now I can finally relax and things are going to be perfect. Not going to happen. Ask some of the retired folks around here. There are still battles to fight. There's still stuff to deal with. We can't wait. for that moment in our lives where everything gets perfect. We choose joy now and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And I want to finish with this. This earth is not our home. That's what the Bible tells us. It's not supposed to be perfect here. If it was perfect here, I'd want to stay here forever. I don't want to be here forever. He's preparing. Jesus said this, and I'm going to close, I promise. Jesus said, I go away and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. It was 2,000 years ago that Jesus went away. He's been preparing a place for you and me. For 2,000, it must be quite a place. Now here's the joy. Here's the joy. This world is not my home. We are here to encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, all the stuff we've said, so that we can one day all be in heaven together. That's why we're going to have fun and laughter and joy right here, because we know the end of the story. It doesn't end when I take my last breath here. It doesn't end when you take your last breath here. It never ends. We'll be in His presence. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. If you find yourself constantly talking negative about you and about others, what if we decided we were going to be different? What if we said there's power, there's life and death in the power of the tongue? I'm going to start speaking life instead of death. I'm going to start speaking life to me and to those around me instead of speaking death everywhere I go. Don't be the guy that saw the dog walk on water and said, your dog can't swim. Let God work through us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all your blessings on us. Lord, we want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to serve you. We want to put you first. Lord, if there's anybody in the room or watching online this morning that doesn't have a relationship with you, we pray that today they would admit their sin, they would believe in you, and they would confess you as Lord of their life and start that journey with you. And Lord, for the person today who says, I'm down and I'm out and I don't have enough joy and I'm weak, today I pray, God, that you would work in their lives. We pray that you would start the process, Lord, that you would build the joy, give them joy like they've never had before, so that they will feel strong and confident, not confident in their ability, confident in your ability to give them a bright future. God, we pray that you would help us as a church to put you first and honor you. God, help us to have some fun, to laugh and talk and encourage and just rejoice together. God, we pray that we would be a light to our homes and lights to our neighborhoods, our community, our state. Lord, that we would be a light of the grace of Jesus Christ, and we would honor you in the process, and we thank you for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I did not give you a minute. But I do want you to go outside, and I do want you to look at the sign-up sheets, because here's what's going to happen. Joy, we gain joy by serving other people. If you're only thinking about you, you're never going to have any joy. But it's when you're thinking about others, it's when you get the most joy. So go out there and find out where you need to serve, what you need to sign up for. God, bless us as we go, and have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.